Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist Phil and Blake are back. Will is off tonight as he's off doing work that he cannot get out of, which is totally understandable. I got to start this podcast, though, with the only thing that matters right now. And this is from Brandon Donlin on X. If TK hates losers, he's going to get whiplash when I add him to the 17th place group chat. I can't even say it without laughing, dude. Like, I literally can't even get through saying it without dying laughing. Oh, my God. It is so good. All right. So I'm going to read that one more time.
Yeah, you go.
If TK hates losers, he's going to get whiplash when I add him to the 17th place group chat tonight. Okay. I feel better now. I just wanted to make sure I said it right.
Who's all in that? Does he have him from all the way back to All-Stars, or did they? I guess Rudy can never mind.
No, well, he's got. Oh yeah, because you got to think 17. You got to go beyond. It's All-Stars. Well, who was it in Vanuatu? Dolly.
Dolly's on there.
Is Brandon Donlin in a group chat with Dolly right now? Is that something we don't know? My goodness, how did okay.
Is that the biggest front runner that's gone home that early in like years? It has to be, right?
Oh man, dude. Now you're putting me on the spot with like not a real question, because like what makes a front runner?
That's what I'm here for, baby.
That's what you're here for.
I think I was on the podcast for casting our thing on Patreon, and I was like, TK was put on this show because he's gonna be a front runner and probably go far on no matter what tribe he's on. And then he said, bro, literally 500 times within 20 minutes while people were trying to sleep. And just from that alone, I don't even know if they had to edit in.
Survivor Archivist says Sabaya, but she went 16th. But still, that makes sense.
It's because her tribe lost three times. It wasn't like this is the first time they go to tribal. It becomes too much. I think it's a very interesting character thing for most of these people. I really liked a lot of topics we talked about Tribal Council of like, I could love you socially, but bro, you are annoying me so strategically and vice versa of like, can I work with somebody who has disrespected me? Mm-hmm. And usually this doesn't matter until we get to like the merge of like, you guys were talking crap about us that whole time. I didn't like how you passed the idol back to Jeff. I go to bed every day praying for your downfall. Can I be your friend now? But this is final 17. Like, how is there this much disrespect? But I truly feel like Tiana, if you want to get all the benefits of like, oh, she's one of the guys, it's cool to hang out with her. Like, she's not somebody who's going to just lay down and do whatever you want because she's this headstrong in other parts of her life too.
Yeah. And honestly, like, you can talk about Tiana all you want, and I'm going to talk about Sue later and we'll talk about Caroline, but the most impressive player in this episode, without a doubt, hands down, no questions asked, is Gabe. Gabe played this so beautifully, because what Gabe did that was so impressive is TK and Kyle both thought that Gabe was in their pocket. They didn't even have to, you didn't have to check on it. That was your dog is not going to bite you if you lay on the ground. Like, you just know it's not going to happen. It was so obvious that Gabe was with them. And it turns out that Gabe wasn't with them. And that just blew their minds. And so that, to me, is what was most impressive tonight. But at the same time, Tiana's vote was the deciding factor, because she makes it 4-2. She stops it from going to Rocks. I think that, am I still here or am I cutting out? I feel like,
no, you're great.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I'm at my parents' house, so I need to make sure that everything is good. New location. But I feel like Tiana, realizing that it was a 4-2 vote, at the end of the episode, we see Tiana shocked. I genuinely think she was shocked, because she expected it to be 3-3. Then will we go to Rocks? No part of her expected one of the guys to vote for TK tonight. And I think that's just how beautifully Gabe played. I totally misread Gabe in the pregame. I had him going out super early. I thought he sucked, but at least my winner pick didn't go home in 17th place. Will, how's that going? See you later, buddy. Hey, don't need you anymore. I mean, but yeah, I'm pretty shocked that TK is currently out of this season. Yes.
I mean, and I think if you're in a draft group with anybody or boot list order thing and somebody gets TK right, you're being like, all right, let's throw their list out so we don't spoil the whole season, because how could you see this coming from what we were told? And I think that's something that not only in the show, I think we could think about this as the show and then the actual game on the beach, but it feels like stuff is just going by at 90 miles per hour of like, there's five different targets per tribe, and then like, oh, but Rome has the idol, so now I need to switch my allegiance completely. Mm-hmm. And then when Rome has the idol, that's good for one thing. We show somebody's face and you're like, well, I'm already being like, well, that's who's going home tonight. Yeah. And there was three times on blue where it was like, is Tiana going to get flipped on? Is And then it just like, oh, no, it's TK. Or then it was, but there's Rocks, and Caroline explains the rock thing. And I'm like, we haven't heard from Caroline. She was the mystery 18th person the whole time. Mm-hmm. Is it because she got rocked literally 5 days in and she said, screw that whole experience, I didn't even stay for the Ponderosa jury thing, and I lost all my money. Like, I think if you go home at Rocks at five, I don't feel bad for you if you just say, screw this whole experience completely.
Yeah, no, and I will say that what I thought was fascinating about tonight's episode, and I tweeted out, it kind of reminded me of Drew Christie, right? Because this was a slow motion train wreck. Once you realized that Tiana was entertaining the idea, what you realized was there is no way for TK to save himself. Gabe has Sue and Caroline, all three of them are voting together no matter what. And now you turn around and you look and you realize, well, if Tiana does vote with Kyle and TK to start, she's already entertaining the idea, so she's going to be willing to just flip over to the other side. He has no way of getting out of this. And yet it was so entertaining to watch as he was giving his speeches about, you know, I'm playing great Survivor, everybody's bending to my will, whatever. The thing with TK is, I think TK is a very social person. I think in his real life, he is a very social guy who his social skills are what pull him ahead. But he is so used to talking to a specific kind of person. His life revolves around a specific kind of person. And when he got out there, he did not really understand how to deal with these other personalities. It makes sense that he would gravitate towards the guys and Tiana out of the other women on that tribe. Sue and Caroline, they could be the only three people at a party and they wouldn't talk to each other, those three. So I mean, like,
that's what happened on the beach, probably.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You said, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what I think, but go ahead.
And I think that's something for TK of like, when you actually tell your mom the next day of why did TK go home so early? Like, what is the thing that he screwed up? And is it just that chat at the mat of, I don't like when I'm on a losing team and there's people smiling. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like if you made it past high school athletics, you understand that mentality completely. Or you could come off and say, I got it, TK, but can you turn it off and treat us like humans? Or like, that's a little crazy, Blake, but like, treat us like I can have a different emotion and whatever, or let's talk about it. Instead of when he came with that like confessional of like, I need to take charge. I need to push what we're doing. I need to say what we're doing. And it's going to be me that's executing for everyone, because right now we're not anywhere close to where we need to be, is a coach. And once again,
and what's funny,
we don't need coaches on Survivor.
Yeah. And what's really funny about TK, he had the confessional tonight of, we have a tribe that should never lose to the other tribes. What TK meant was, I'm better than everybody on the other tribe, so we should not lose. I should be able to carry my tribe to victory. That's how I took it. Right. I truly feel like TK looked at everybody else on those other tribes and said, I can beat everybody's ass here. There's no reason we should lose. And it's not, he's not looking at Sue and Caroline saying, these are the strongest women I've ever met in my life. There's no way they'd ever lose anything. They should be dominating. No, he's looking at himself and saying, we should win all of this. Look at how small these other tribes are. I mean, you look at the red tribe, they're still so tiny. Like, it is insane.
They're literally
that tribe
teeny
is as
too.
Small as they are. But I just think, like, for TK, this is a wake-up call, but it's also really fun. I know, Blake, you and I had we had talked about, you know, potentially doing another type series for the future and everything like that. So, you know, little hints for people. It won't happen tomorrow or anything like that, but hopefully by week 4 we'll be doing something. But we had talked about it, and it was, this episode is a perfect encapsulation of like why they're like, AV Club used to do this thing where Game of Thrones, they would do experts and they would do recaps for people who had never read the books. So you had one recap that was talking about how it compared to the books and one that had nothing. And I feel like with Survivor, it's like, here's your people who are really into it and here's your people who are casuals. Because people are going to watch tonight's episode. I'm going to get a call from my uncle tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. He's going to go, how the hell did they vote out that guy? And I'm going to be like, if you could look past the fact that he could beat the shit out of anybody who's ever played Survivor, you would absolutely understand why he went home. Like, he played terribly. And like, I'm not knocking TK, like, by saying, like, I'm not trying to get like personal with it. It's just, he played this game as poorly as somebody in TK's position could have played it, because other people just used his ego against him and there was nothing he could do.
But I do want to say something positive about TK. I think his partnership with Kyle is probably one of the strongest I've seen in a pre-merge since 40 started. And like, the, like, it wasn't a sigh, it wasn't a gasp, but like the air leaving Kyle's mouth after the TK vote, he flips it around and it was just like a, oh my God, I have the biggest hill to climb after this. And I didn't expect this at all. And like, I think that is how well TK was playing with Kyle. And if TK had done that with everybody, of course he makes it to the merge. Of course he's our number one threat that needs to win a couple immunities like we all thought he would be. But I don't know why it wasn't worth talking to even the people at the very bottom for TK.
He thought he had that relationship with Gabe and with Tiana too. But Gabe and Tiana just, they could see through it. They could see through it. And like, again, that's where I guess a couple minutes ago, I said TK played terribly. Really, Gabe and Tiana just played better. Really, Gabe just played better. And then Caroline and Sue did a good job of convincing Tiana, this is what's best for your game. And that's really what happened. Like, if TK is on any of the other tribes, he's not the first target. John, Andy, Annika all go home before TK over there, no matter how TK acts. If he acts the exact same way, they all go home before him. On red, Rome absolutely goes home before him. And I honestly think Rome would want to team up with TK if they're on the same tribe, which is probably why the two of them aren't on the same tribe, because they act so similarly. Like, there's no way they would put those two on the same tribe. But I think that TK doesn't go home first there. This was the only tribe where it works, because Gabe was not the bro down type of guy, and TK could not understand how to adapt to the situation that was put before him, because he didn't realize he needed to adapt.
Which is a good way to lose Survivor. I think we're seeing it a lot in these first two episodes of somebody is doing something so outlandish and they don't realize how annoying or how over the top they are. And like, I guess we'll go from talking a lot about blue. Let's just go to red real quick of like, Rome is like, I want to do the podcast with Jeff Probst after the show is over, is one of the most insane things I think has been said on the show to a tribe of, I'm going to be the only one that matters after the season is over. And even Jeff Probst is going to want to hang out with me and pay me for my advice on the show for the rest of my life, is like, Rome, what are you doing?
Dude, and I love it. I love that Rome can't turn it off, but Rome did what he had to do with the idol and such, right? Like, Rome is safe. I'm also really impressed that Rome took the one tribal idol, which we'll talk about with him and Sam. We actually have a lot to talk about. This was a great This was a great episode. Nostalgia said it here. There was two comments I wanted to put up. Number one comes from Thomas McGee, if I can find it. Where was it? Boop, boop, boop. Here it is. If I'm ever on Survivor, hopefully Will won't make me his winner pick. Okay, that's a good one.
Great.
And then Nostalgia here. Dang, Phil, you were right when you said the new era has found its stride. I thought tonight was great. And I think that the personalities are really popping. And like,
this
Rome
is the third season in a row of good stuff. We hadn't been out of the Banu scenario by now in the whatever, but I still enjoyed the Banu scenario.
We weren't tired
so,
of the Banu scenario yet. That
so
was the thing.
I do think great job producing Survivor for three seasons now. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy with where we're at. I echo that.
I can't wait until this goes Redemption Island, where like the rest of the season is just dog shit after a good first two episodes.
Yeah, TK's the whole linchpin for everything.
He was the linchpin. No, but so what I was going to say with this is, like, you have Rome, who understands that he's an aggressive, big personality. And Rome wants to play this game super aggressive. So he's walking around saying, I want to do the On Fire podcast. I'm going to take that spot. I'm going to be that guy from our season. Like, I'm number one. You all are battling for number two. Good luck. I am going to do this stuff right in your face. But he has an idol that protects him. Teeny seeing that. And Teeny goes, oh man, that's not what I wanted. I didn't want it to be Rome who had it. And we'll talk about the Kishan situation too. Teeny, Kishan, and Rome, that was a very interesting situation. But the whole thing is, like, Rome has done what he needs to do. Where at that first tribal council, he can't go home. TK put it in other people's hands. And TK, for as aggressive as he is, I'm surprised that he wasn't more aggressive when it came to idols and stuff like that. So yeah, Nostalgia says, he says, Rome not saying he wants to do the specialist podcast couldn't be made. Come on, Rome. Like, come on. You want to do this. You don't want to do On Fire. You want to do this. We're going to get name dropped, right? Rob has a podcast, On Fire.
We're going to have to want to do it with Rome after this. He's got to play some hardcore Survivor to get.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is
my
this
number one winner pick was close if Red went home. But I am glad he's safe for one, because I think that does make it extremely awkward for the other five people.
Oh yeah.
Of it's so face up that now we have to lie to each other, because we can't go, where do we think the idol is? I didn't know better. I worked with Rome because, like, it's all face up. So
yeah.
Which of the other four that aren't you, Teeny, are you going to go after that you would rather want Rome over? And then also, you guys are an unstoppable force, because Saul is just going to grab the heaviest thing by himself and get you like 15 minutes ahead on every challenge. And like, that was crazy to me.
Why does Saul, like, I mean, this guy's like mid 40s or whatever, and he's just like, he like barely talks. I think tonight all he said was like, Rome is not what I expected him to be, and that was literally it. But he's just like, he's jacked out of his mind, dude. Like, right. This guy is a beast. Like, I don't know. I feel like they've done a good job with the casting too on this season, where everybody doesn't feel the same. That's something that I've complained about in other seasons, where especially in the new era, it's like, okay, they went with more diverse casting, but everybody has like same build, same storyline, whatever. I feel like this season you have TK, you have Saul, you have Rome, who is an athletic but smaller guy who's going for style points when he's jumping off. You have Caroline, you have Sue. Like, I feel like there's a different, it's a different looking group. And that's kind of nice. It feels like everybody, it almost feels like you're back into RPG mode, right? Of, we have a 6-person tribe and we're going to have the puzzle person, the strategist, the physical person, right. This, like, you feel like, you know, where everybody fits in again. And honestly, that's good from a viewing perspective, because through two episodes of this season, I feel that I know them very well. And I know, look, 90-minute episodes, all of that, but we've had three seasons now of 90-minute episodes. I think they've done a really good job. I feel like I know who these people are. And like, I called it last week with Genevieve. I said, Genevieve is the smallest personality on this show. That doesn't mean she's going to be boring. It just means she's not going to be getting confessionals every episode. And sure enough, tonight, who's the only person who didn't have a confessional? Genevieve. But she also had one of the best lines of the night, which we'll get to in a second. But I just think like they've done a good job where I still know who Genevieve is on that tribe, even if I don't necessarily hear from her a lot, because she sticks out amongst everybody else. Everybody is sticking out in their own unique way. And that's a credit to casting.
Love casting. Great job, y'all. So start of the episode, Rome says, I'm going to find this idol. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take Teeny with me to go show as an act of good faith. Teeny, guess what? I want to work with you. Here's the box. Rome goes and does some other stuff. Maybe he makes his coffee. Maybe he goes to the bathroom. Maybe he checks his emails. And then he comes back to where the box is, and Teeny's showing Keyshawn. And it's like, I think that has to be one of the quickest, most blatant betrayals of all time in Survivor, of how it was literally a split second later. It's not a, I can talk my way out of this. She is physically showing the chest to somebody else that you, he did not say, go get Keyshawn and show him this. And it blew my mind.
Do you think Teeny is who Rome will target with his idol? No. I don't either, which is crazy. I think that speaks volumes about Teeny's social game. I don't think Rome is going to go after Teeny, despite the fact you do that to anybody else in the history of Survivor. If you are anybody else, they are going, F you.
I might throw a challenge to vote you out
because you are a waste, and now I have an idol. And like, but Rome, his hand was forced, and he made the right decision. He said, you know what? I'm going to take the one tribal council idol. They all know I have it. I said this on Digging Deeper. I said this on my after show. I said this on everything. I said, Rome needs to take the one idol because they all know he's a threat and they all know he's looking a lot. So just take the one. And he did that. And thank God he did, because him making a decision. And now Teeny has to say, okay, what do I want to do? Because she knows. And I think she probably told Keyshawn at this point. So now you assume both of them know. Where are they going to want to go with this? You don't want Saul getting a stray bullet, but you don't want either of you going home. So that leaves Genevieve, and that leaves Asia. Genevieve screwed.
No, not Asia. Asia had a cool down episode too, because I think her, not one of her only contributions, but her main contribution was like rolling her eyes at the "you a podcaster" or whatever, because it's like winky face, I'm a podcaster. It was interesting too, of like the red tribal dynamic of what is Rome going to target may not even be the actual thing, because they can vote around his idol.
Well, and that's so what I'm saying, right? So who are they going to want? Like,
it may just be like, hey, Rome, just be over there for 3 days. And like, I think who's the least developed person? It's obviously Genevieve, but you hate to see that because you're like,
Genevieve was going to be underdeveloped no matter what, though. That's what I keep saying. Like, I feel like her personality, she was just always going to be underdeveloped.
What the heck? We want Canadians on our show still.
Dude, okay, so can I say, though, Genevieve's contribution to this episode? Did you catch it? The like one of the funniest lines?
I think you're going to say it, and I'm going to remember it, but I don't remember it
correctly. At the challenge, Rome is doing all his stuff, and he goes, Mamba mentality. And her exact line was, I don't know what that means, but it sounds good.
I did not hear that. Dude, that's amazing.
So good. So good. And somebody in here put, that's the most Canadian thing ever. Look, it's like Michael Wilde said that.
They don't have basketball there. Yeah.
Genevieve not knowing Mamba mentality is so aggressively Canadian. I love it. But like, they have the Raptors. Like they used to, when he was in the league, when Kobe played, the Grizzlies were playing in Vancouver. So like, there are Canadian basketball teams. I think it's just a matter of like, Genevieve's probably lived her life not giving a shit about the NBA. Yeah. But yeah, Mamba mentality.
Nice, you know?
So funny. What a great response. I absolutely love that. So I just wanted to throw that in. But yeah, she totally got overshadowed. Jordan Alford, I died a little bit
inside. How much Mamba mentality do you have when it comes to this podcast, Phil?
Dude, I have all of it, dude. I don't stop. Yeah. I don't stop. We're gonna get mentioned on Survivor, and then I'm just gonna die on the spot, dude. Like, that's gonna be it. I'm gonna hear it, and my heart's just gonna stop beating.
Good for Jeff and his brand new podcast, though, to get the mention, to get all the people.
Do you think they really struggled with, like, should we show this or should we not? Like, is this going to be a contractual?
Oh, dispute? I think they put it in for Jeff, thinking he'd take it out in producer notes of go ahead and edit that out. And he was like, actually, I love that.
Did you see that the Falcons owner this past weekend put himself in the Falcons Ring of Honor?
That's amazing.
Like, amazing, right? They normally put players or coaches, or then an owner will die and they'll put the owner in, and then he puts himself in the Ring of Honor. That's Jeff putting the On Fire podcast into the show. Dude. It's like, yeah, no, guys, that's me. I'm that good. So I am now in the Ring of Honor for the Survivor Specialist. Just
that
so you
year
know.
That it was on at the same time as his the Jeff Probst show. Do you think there was a hopefully I win Survivor so I can go be on the Jeff Probst show after this. But that
no, because even the Survivors, I don't even think Jeff knew he was doing the Jeff Probst show. Okay, let's get back to Survivor here.
Oh, okay,
so,
good idea.
So we have Keyshawn, Tini, Rome. They all know Rome's hand is kind of forced now with Keyshawn and Tini. Rome, though, we don't know if he has a relationship with Keyshawn at all here. It feels like his relationship is strictly with Tini. I don't feel like there's anything else going on there.
And Keyshawn's making fun of Rome in his confessional. Mm-hmm. So you are kind of like Keyshawn is, I have so much confidence in myself that I am going to sit back and be very passive until it's time to show how much better I am. Cause I don't want to show everybody I'm better than you right away. That's like the meanest way I could say what he was saying, but like, it was like, I've made fire, but I'm going to wait for other people to screw it up before I do it myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very interesting character trait for him. Because, like, you only have a couple times to sit back and watch before, like, the game moves on without you, or, like, something bad happens, and you're like, well, I was waiting for something good to happen, and you're like, well, now you're talking with TK and the jury.
Yeah.
Not jury. Ponderosa.
Ponderosa, dude. I don't even think they do Ponderosa. I think they just fly home now. So, yeah, and then here's the other thing. Valiers, Rome said he can make fire in 16 seconds and then he couldn't do it, and then Keyshawn came in and did it. How do we feel about this fire? I feel like we're being set up that Rome's not going to win, but I do feel like Rome is going to go pretty far on this.
Rome loses at final 12 fire making.
Final 12 fire making. Yeah, they're gonna skip rocks and go straight to that. Obviously Rome's not gonna go home at the first tribal. Do you feel like Rome's in trouble right now beyond that, or no?
I think we should call it Survivor Rome. He's probably playing the best game possible.
I think Blake is gone. Okay.
I'm here.
Okay, you're here. Okay, what'd you say?
I was saying I think it should be called Survivor Rome. He's playing so well. I think Rome is going to make the merge. Mm-hmm. And then it is dicey.
Yeah.
like he probably goes home in the we vote out one person from each of the group of fives at final 10. That's my official pick of he goes home second and gets ninth place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how like everybody else takes him, because like he could go the Tony route of all of a sudden it starts to click. Mm-hmm. Or it could just be like Rome is somebody who's so he's gonna rub people the wrong way, almost like Q did last season, where it's like he's gonna rub people the wrong way that eventually he's just gonna be the person who needs to go home. So yeah, we'll have to see how that ends up shaking out. Somebody had put Jayburn Aquatic said everyone's power ranking. Oof. Well, this is a good part to name drop the Patreon, patreon.com/thespecialist. If you're a top tier patron, you get to play in our power rankings game. And if you missed the first week, you probably didn't miss out on that much, because I don't think people put TK at the very bottom. I actually haven't looked. I should probably check that, but I haven't looked to see like what people did, but you probably aren't missing out on that many points. So still sign up. The link is over in the Patreon for all of those who are at the top tier.
If you're waiting in line for the power rankings, stay in line, because you're not.
Yeah. Exactly.
Shout out to John Lovitz.
So I just wanted to throw that in there and say all of that, because we didn't even all of our $20 patrons who are already in there didn't sign up. So if you haven't signed up yet, get in there, sign up. Let's go. What are you waiting?
Definitely
for?
A race to the bottom after TK goes.
Yeah.
We also had our first time where somebody found the beware and got too bescared to put it in their own pocket and left it on the tree. And everyone, I'm sure, was like, oh, kind of a good idea to grab it when you need it. And then immediately the next confessional happens and you go, oh, no, Andy's about to have the worst Survivor experience ever.
So here's what it is with me, with how this shook out. I think, and it took us, we're at 27:53. This was the most fun I've ever had with the Beware Advantage. It's fun that we've gone from Jamal Shipman pulling something off of a stick or off of a tree and it being like, I just lost my vote for existing, for wanting to play Survivor. And now we've gotten to the point where this was so fascinating. And let me do a quick recap of this whole situation. Great. For everybody. Andy goes, finds the Beware Advantage. He sees it and says, I don't want to take this right now. If I don't have my vote, I don't have anything. I'll put it here. I don't think anybody else is going to find it. Sam and Annika go hunting, or they're going to fill up people's water bottles, their canteens, but then they decide instead, we are going to do this and look for an idol a little bit. Sam finds it. Now he has to let Annika in on everything. Him and Annika go back and forth. They find the box. Then they go and they find the ropes attached to the key. They're untying and they realize it's going to take too long. So they go back, they get their water, they bring it back.
Yes. And now it's time to tell Rachel.
And now it is time to tell Rachel. No, wrong, incorrect. It is time for Sam to tell Sierra. I think this is why this is important and why I love it. It is time for him to tell Sierra because Sierra is Sam's number one. This might be your top two of the season. So he goes and he tells Sierra because he wants Sierra to know. As he's talking to Sierra, Sierra says, you found it with Annika. I don't really love that. I also think that Annika is probably going to go tell Rachel. Telling Rachel. And so now Annika is telling Rachel. So what do Sam and Sierra decide? You need to now go tell Rachel so she thinks it's okay. So Sam goes and tells Rachel and pretty much has Rachel come back with him to help him untie the knots. So now Rachel feels good about things. So now four people know that Sam has this. What happens next? Poor Andy goes, looks for the idol clue. It is not there. So he goes and tells Sam, and Sam pretends to be shocked by the entire situation. Now, on top of this, while Sam has kept Annika somewhat happy, he's kept Rachel somewhat happy, and he has Andy thinking that he's in it with him and it's one of the girls, he turns around and he says, hey, Sierra, I want you to be the one who actually finds this idol with me and will make the decision. And then they open the box and they make the right decision. They say, yes, I'm going to take the one tribal council, because the entire freaking tribe knows that somebody has it. So there is no benefit to getting this beyond this. Use it at the first tribal. Even if you have to use it on yourself or use it on somebody else, who cares? Just waste it like Gabe did in this episode. And we can talk more about that. But this is really perfect. And then, as Mr. Manny says right here, he says, should we play it on Andy?
That was crazy.
So, dude, there's the whole breakdown of everything that happened. I loved this sequence so much that I could memorize it without writing down a single note about it, because I thought this was fascinating. Best use of the Beware Advantage yet. But what do you think about not just this, Blake, but what do you think about the end of it? Should he use it on Andy?
I think this is the quickest way to show somebody that maybe is in your life of, that show's still on. You send them this clip of Yellow Tribe get a better name so I can remember it. It's show them this clip. It's going to immediately be like, that is so many social dynamics. It's so many strategic dynamics. We're laughing the whole way. We're kind of flabbergasted. And then we do have Sam saying the craziest thing possible afterwards is, I did all of that work. Maybe I should save Andy. And you're just like, okay, why? He immediately explains, I'm not too keen on going to the final four of my tribe with three women. And it is crazy how much like the gender dynamics will always be so strong. Like, we talked about it on at least two of the tribes tonight. It became a major selling point in the tribal council. It's a selling point here of, we should let Andy explode somewhere else instead of on our tribe when we need him to be good. But like, should we play it on Andy? No, you should get in stronger with all the women and just be like, it's Sam's Angels to the end.
All right, man, here you go. You ready? McKenna 3222. I'm going to write this down, 'cause this is what she can use for TikTok and stuff, so I know it. This move by Sam is brilliant. It is so good, and here is why. If Sam lets them vote out Andy at the first tribal council, because everybody wants to vote out Andy, if he allows Andy to be voted out, it is Sam and three women. Now, him and Sierra seem really tight, But what did Annika do immediately after her and Sam found the idol? She went and told Rachel. No. So now you're at a standoff of 2 versus 2 at best. Rachel and Annika are not flipping. Sierra really doesn't have much to lose by flipping on Sam because she's still a part of a 3-person alliance. By doing this, Sam ensures that he never gets to a situation of 2v2, potentially pulling rocks, potentially going to fire, whatever would happen at final 4 on this tribe. And he prevents putting Sierra in that position of it's that easy to flip because Rachel and Annika aren't flipping. And I think Sierra is probably tighter with Sam than those other two are. But still, the idea in Sierra's mind is if I flip on Sam here, I can go further in the game. I think it's brilliant by Sam. I think the idol needs to be played for Andy because Andy is the Banu here. You get rid of Annika or you get rid of Rachel. You have an alliance now. Andy thinks he's part of this alliance and you turn around and you vote him out the next time you get the opportunity or you go into a merge and Andy is a loyal, loyal follower. I think it is brilliant. I think you have to do it.
And this, I think, is another payoff for some super fans of we always have the what if of 46 of was Kinsey going to go that time whenever Randon goes down with his arm of Q had Banu ready to go of we're voting out Kinsey. We can figure this out. And I'm flipping it on her. Kinsey goes on to win the whole game. Q gets voted out by Kinsey at 6. All those dynamics are happening in the teens of the game. I think it's an interesting, like, no matter how many times we play Survivor, is it always the same? No. But it's like kind of the same scenario in a different font, different players, and different Sense and Sensibilities. Maybe that's the right movie I'm trying to say.
Pride and Prejudice, but, Sense and Sensibility. Come on.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, I like this because this is interesting what the editors are doing of like, we're mentioning stuff from last season, but it's going in the greater canon of Survivor, which is very cool for the people that have watched every episode religiously, but is fine enough, digestible enough for people to watch this season without having that base layer. It's just rewarding the longtime fans of like, do you remember this? Do you remember this? And I think that's an interesting way to keep us interested in being like, I love this show. Like it's worth those extra layers the editors are putting in. And I don't think I'm barking up the wrong tree of like, why are you making something when it doesn't exist? Because why are they showing Rachel talk to Andy last episode at nighttime?
Yeah.
This is happening. And I'm interested in where this goes. And no matter what place Andy gets, I think it's going to be a tumultuous 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks. Like every time Andy opens his mouth, I'm like, this is never what I would do as a Survivor player. No. And like leaving the beware behind for whenever you want it. Like, did he put it in the exact tree where some production person put it? Like,
I don't think you can move it. I think you have to put it back there because otherwise it's technically you're taking it.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So why? I know.
Right. Is it me freezing or Blake, everybody? Who froze? Chat, help me out. Who froze?
I'm still here.
Oh, I didn't hear anything you said. I said, I don't think he can put it in a different place. I think I might be freezing. I don't know.
I think what's interesting is why is Andy so like, I think I could do this next time instead of like, why is there no killer instinct of, holy shit, I need an idol. Like, let's go.
Yeah. Especially in the position he was in, right? I feel like Rome made the best choice for his position. I feel like Sam made the best choice for his decision. I feel like on the other side, Gabe playing his idol was the best decision for him. And Andy made the worst decision for the situation he was in. Oh, nobody's freezing. So I'm for some reason, your screen keeps cutting black on me every now and then, and I can't hear anything. So I'll just have to guess what you said because it's just,
all right.
Anyway. But Andy, like, you know, you're in the bottom, you know, you're in a rough position. You just had a rough episode. Why would you not do this?
Yeah. Cause you're not a good player. Like you are hoping somebody takes the chance on you and like, that's a bad way to be of like, I get somebody taking a chance on me to get me from like 11 to 10, but taking a chance and like hoping at 18 to 17 and 17 to 16 is rough.
Not good.
I think what's very fun too is each tribe. We have, I don't want to say Andy and TK are the exact same case, but we have a TK, we have Andy, and we have Rome. Of the guys are falling apart. Mm-hmm. And I think we get two guys going home. I think there's at least one tribe where if they lose, they'll vote out a guy at 16. Would that be the first time in a long ass time we've had three guys go in a row?
This early, yeah.
Because it feels like this is going to be a woman-dominated merge game. Like, we have some women players on all things. Like, the thing that kind of bothered me actually while watching was somebody saying that, like, Sue isn't strong and isn't carrying her weight. When I'm like,
she's been a beast.
Didn't I watch Sue charge into the jungle and grab one by herself when everyone else kind of took, like, oh, I need help with my second player? And, like, I just think... when we need to start paying attention very strongly to the women pairings and like when women are talking about who they can trust, because I think that's going to be super important for the end game of like, I would almost assume out of the final 10, we're going to have like seven women, I think is how mm-hmm. strong this women cast is.
Yeah, no, I could see that happening. I do feel it's interesting, but here's the biggest thing. The confessional counts are out. So you're talking about, you know, it feels like the women dominating stuff. There were 69 confessionals in tonight's episode. Go ahead, say nice.
Nice.
Okay, cool. 16 of those were given by Sam Phelan.
That's okay. So
did it feel like you got that much though? Did you feel like you got too much, Sam?
What I just told you is the best encapsulation of New Era to show your people. That took a while to explain. So I'm assuming 50% or more was that.
And it was cutting back and forth between him and someone else, him and someone else. So it was like every right. time it would cut back to him after someone else, it was a new confessional, but it was about the same thing.
I think it was important for us to get that much Sam. But like, yeah, like Sam's going to be one of the dudes that makes it. Like he seems so strong. It seems like he has Sierra, like that seems like the modern, like what's our last, like, is that the modern Romber? Are they going to get married? No, just more of like, I think they're going to be a power couple, but mm-hmm. not romantically.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a power couple too. I think that's going to be a duo to watch. And I think the way that tribe has lined up, I think they're fine. And if Andy or anybody tries to make a move, if anybody tries to do anything, it's not going to work. All right. Speaking of this tribe, let's jump over here because this has been coming up like crazy. Genevieve, Carol, Rachel stealing the rice was great. So we get to the immunity challenge. We see the immunity challenge play out and they are stabbing the bag of rice. And Rachel starts taking rice and putting it into her back pockets. She gets caught by Jeff and Jeff says, empty your pockets. What are you doing? How did you feel about this situation here?
Well, I texted you mid-episode, so you know all about it. But for everyone else that's paying attention to this, it was hilarious. Of like, what are you going to do? You don't have Flint. Like, are you going to put water in the shell and like hope the light comes in and like bubble, bubble, bubble? Or like,
so is this rice healthy at all?
This is like
prop rice
that has been used in probably movies for 30 years that Survivor got on discount because they don't pay full price.
It's like those macaroni necklaces you used to make as a kid.
Oh my
you don't
God. That's exactly what they, this, and she says she put, we saw one pocket go in and I'm like, okay. But then when she's doing it, she's like basically stepping out of a bag of rice and dumping it on the ground. But it is something where like, I think this shows her a little bit untrustworthy to most of the other groups. It's going to be something that's brought up every conversation she has with somebody else from another player, because it is such a funny moment from Jeff, but it is showing everyone like, this person is going to try everything because nobody has tried to steal food from the prop food for our challenges. I don't even know if it was like the person, whenever it's like, you remember those fruit challenges we've had where it's like throw the fruit and whoever you get to keep the fruit. I don't think anybody's ever gone take a bite midway through.
yeah.
Like that's probably so illegal or something. So the fact that somebody's trying to do that with like rice that isn't even going to taste good is hilarious to me. Yeah. And like, thank God Jeff is like, undo that like,
no, and you know, she got some kernels. There's some kernels still in there. Yeah. There's some butt rice being eaten there. It's like, it's just sitting in the back pocket, and they're putting that, they are putting that in the pot if they have any left over. So I thought it was really funny. I will say too, like, I thought this challenge was an interesting one. It was funny how I like the twist on the snake maze. I thought that was fun. And I thought it was an interesting dynamic that it made where all three of them then had to work together, pull on different ends. I thought that was really fascinating. And it really, really worked here because you could see the frustration coming from everybody here. So
the blind part was interesting.
Dude, like, and yeah, Rachel killed it on that. People keep saying another Mr. Manny, Rachel, the graphic designer, also owned the blind maze.
Why is graphic designer in quotes?
Because that's
isn't like that her job?
He referred to her as. But she literally, she did. She dominated that, dude. She dominated that. And we saw Roman Tiana especially really struggle with it. It was funny for anybody who listened to my predictions and power rankings with Liz Wilcox this past weekend. Liz put Tiana at the bottom of her power rankings because Tiana's hot take was that Liz's tantrum was because she was like a spoiled child, essentially, and like just went in.
Well, I'm glad Liz didn't take that personally.
No, and Liz was like, Liz's, you'll like this, Blake. Liz's actual response was, the literal last name of the winner of my season is Petty, so I can be as petty as I want. And I know that is Blake humor to a T. Blake is so
pissed. Liz does look like my aunt, so that was very hard for me to watch all last season.
That's so funny. But yeah, so she had put her down there, and I'm watching. I'm like, man, is Tiana kind of backing herself into a corner? I will say, Will's winner pick is out. I don't feel very good about my winner pick right now. I do not feel like Tiana is going to end up winning this. I actually think, let's talk about this blue tribe again then, because we covered that. We talked pretty in-depth about red and yellow. And we talked early about blue. We didn't talk about this. I want to talk about going into the future here. Blue just lost. Kyle was on the outs of this. He's the only one who didn't vote correctly. You could see that it bothered him, all of that. Do you think Kyle is the next boot from this tribe?
First of all, I texted this to you too, but I'm for all the ladies out there and for all the other people out there, Kyle's looking kind of cute on the island. Like, I did not expect that from all this stuff of like, the backwards hat with the hair coming out the right way. I was like, oh, this is why he's on the show. Of like, country boy in the beach. Like, oh, like
you. Blake's over like, here moving to like, Sheboygan, oh, Michigan.
Oh shit. Okay, chef. I don't think Kyle is going to go because I think it will come down to Tiana is going to be like the main decider person. Oh, because look, now she's in. Between no, she's not. She's not the.
I actually think
that would be
the one who goes home. I'll talk about it on my predictions this weekend. But I think Tiana's in the worst spot there because I think Gabe, Caroline, and Sue have a legitimate relationship going on, and I think Tiana flipping tonight, and she didn't have a choice. There was no way TK could save himself. But I think Tiana is now on the bottom of that tribe because if they lose again, I don't think they'll want to vote out Kyle because Kyle is now going to be one of their most useful people in challenges. They just vote out their strongest person by a lot from a physical standpoint. So I do think that they will
make
want
it out idol rehid though.
Idol rehidden, all of that. I think Kyle will be on alert, and I think Kyle is going to play this game hard. I think he is really well liked by the tribe. I mean, they all talk about he's so pure, we like him so much, blah blah blah. I think that Kyle is going to get back in, and I think Tiana is in the most trouble on this tribe right now.
Take that, Tiana. I mean, I don't want Tiana to take that. I think she's a very, I really like her story. And I think that's, when you're doing pre-merge stuff, some of the best characters of the merge last season, I don't think we saw much of at all in the first couple episodes. Mm-hmm. So maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's like, I do want to see Tiana make it to final six and have some like grudges that she like gets one over on or something. Because I think that's something that will be both compelling for Tiana, and we have not seen someone like Tiana on the show.
No,
in my opinion, of like the Hawaiian saying or whatever, but like she is angry on episode 2 and not immediately sent home because like she's still even keel, and like I think it was very interesting that we had the anger. TK walks up and he goes, "You're not talking shit about me, are you?" And she straight up boldface lies and goes, "Nope." Mm-hmm. And it was very cool. But then the thing I did not expect to happen, which we don't really see that often on Survivor, is all three of those people come to I completely understand. Let's move forward. We're better, stronger together.
Yeah.
And then I do think that got ruined by the other three people playing on the tribe of like, yeah, I could come to that agreement with TK, but now that I think about it and there's this influence, do I really want to move forward with TK? I just said a lot to say nothing, but it is kind of like, I don't want Tiana to go. Like, I think she's stronger than Caroline. And like, Caroline is somebody that like, why is Caroline on the show and in a good position? Is she strategically thinking of stuff, or is it more like we were neglected by that personality in TK and his crew, and now we're the underdogs and like it's time to cheer for us and band together?
Yeah. And so I feel like what's funny is the underdogs are now in power over there. And I want to bring this up. John Stalling says, I don't like that Gabe had to burn his idol just to quench his paranoia. And then La Morena says, Gabe's idol play was smart in case it came to a tie. He wouldn't have to draw a rock. That's really smart. I agree with what La Morena says there. I think even more important than that is everybody's talking about the fact that they all knew he was looking for an idol and he had an idol and blah, blah, blah.
Here it is, everybody.
Get rid of it. Who cares? Yeah. Don't need it anymore. Don't need it. Bye-bye. Doesn't matter. I think that was actually very important. And I think it was a really smart move to just get that out of his hands. This way, no, everybody now can be like, oh, you were a little sketchy. But also, because remember earlier in the episode, Caroline was saying, I don't trust him. And then he goes, here, let me show you the idol. And she's like, okay, maybe I am going to work with Gabe. I think that by him playing it, it says, okay, it was real. I wasn't fooling around. And look, I know that you all thought it was sketchy. I'm willing to play this game a little less, you know, all over the place. And right now he's in the power position. He doesn't need to play it crazy.
And I think in games, in Survivor, in whatever you're trying to do competitively, you either take the shot because you know it's for sure, or you take a shot to set yourself up for later. Mm-hmm. And I think it was, if I play my idol and we go 3-3, I'm not in the pool of contestants that go home. And it's a 67% chance that it's not, oh no. No. It'd be a 50-50 shot instead of a...
No, he doesn't. It's not him. It's not him. TK. And it's not Sue.
So, okay. Yeah, 67% so chance it's not Caroline. Yeah. My instincts are correct. Yep. Trust your instincts. I think why I want to root for Tiana is I really like that energy at her voting confessional. Trust your instincts. That's so much more engaging and interesting than about 80% of new era players when they have been in early episodes, where I love Tiana. There's some energy there that I'm excited to put her in all these scenarios.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think she had really good energy. And let me go through the rest of the confessionals here just so people know. And I'm going to give like what happened in episode one and whether there was a drop or a rise. I want to do this like quickly and we'll kind of rapid fire this. Andy went 7, then 6. Annika 3, then 5. I do feel like we got to know her better tonight. Rachel 7, then 1. So big drop off for her. Yeah. Sam 3-16. Sierra 2-2. You mentioned Asia. Asia went from 13-1. Genevieve, only player who didn't have a confessional in the episode, 2-0. Keyshawn 1-2. Rome 9-3. Saul 1-1. Teeny 3-4. Caroline 1-3. Gabe 11-7. Kyle 1-1, Sue 4-7, Tiana 2-7, and then obviously TK goes home. So the biggest things there are Sam went through the roof, Asia and Rachel both didn't have anything, Genevieve probably not going to win the season, and Blue was actually pretty evenly dispersed for the people who are left, with the exception of Kyle, who maybe his story will start to pick up now that TK is gone, because it felt like the rest of them had to tell the story tonight. Also, I did love Sue screaming, I'm willing to go to rocks, when she's the one who wouldn't go to rocks if she gets the vote. So I just thought that was fun.
That's amazing. Yeah. Just for me and maybe new listeners, when you say all of that confessional stuff, what is going through your brain still 47 seasons in of that confessional count? Like, just you as a fan, you as a watcher, like what confessionals mean to you when you say all that stuff?
So Genevieve not getting a confessional in this episode, I had said that if she keeps getting confessionals, then that might mean something for her because she is a smaller personality, but she's going to be the first one they're going to dump, and they did. Kyle having 1-1, I don't think Kyle is the most compelling personality out there, especially with all the other big personalities going on, so I think it's actually good for him that he's getting confessionals. Survivor's done a really good job ever since the Erica debacle of making sure that their winners get confessionals in pretty much every episode. I think every winner since Erica's had a confessional in every every episode, maybe with the exception of Marianne, but I know Gabler did. I know that Jam Jam did. I know that D did. And I know that Kenzie did. So they've done a much better job of doing it. So I kind of start to look at people and say, if you don't get one anymore, especially in these 90 minute episodes, probably means you're not in. Also, Will brings up good points where he likes to say, would they have shown it anyway? Right. So the same thing they were going to show no matter what. So good. They need to show that the Andy stuff they were going to show no matter what. Who are they kind of pushing on us to make sure they get content even when they don't need it? Asia getting a confessional. She was not part of the storyline tonight. Saul getting a confessional. He was not part of the storyline tonight, but they were forcing it anyway. And I think when you're forcing it, even though you're not part of it, that means that you probably have longevity in the game. Ben was somebody who was very big with that last season, where everybody in the final three last season had a confessional in every episode they were in. And Ben would get these random ass confessionals that had nothing to do with the storyline that was going on.
Right.
But they were still giving him that content. Asia had that tonight. Saul had that kind of tonight. And I feel like, you know, it was good for Rachel that she at least snuck one in. So I just like to throw that stuff out there, especially early on. And right now, Sam has 19 confessionals. Gabe has 18. Those are your top two.
And I think that's just a fun way to interact with the show. Like, you can go to film school and then you're like, every movie from now on, you're like, oh, we're at the turning point. This is the third act. Here we go. But I think this is a fun way to interact with Survivor. I'm sure if people are watching you for the 10th year right now, they're like, of course Phil does this. But just for anybody new, it's not spoilers. I think it's more of just participating with the production, the editors, the producers, and getting what they're putting down of like, when you make the connection of the movie details of like, Batman used the red gun because it meant vengeance, is you can do that with Survivor too. And I think that's a good way to watch Survivor if you're seasons and seasons into it. I don't know why this is important to say this right now. Here's my one complaint about Survivor 47 right now. And this is going to be why this season is so good, because it's the only thing I can complain about. The big ass faces at Tribal Council are driving me crazy. Like this iconography, I don't know how to say that word correctly. Like, I remember this from Tomb Raider, like Tomb Raider 2, of like,
thanks for doing the gun motion. So we all know you're going to reload. I need to make sure. At the movie theater. You're playing at the movie theater. You're not playing in your PC.
Like, big ass faces in statues is kind of a South American thing, like Easter Island. And I swear, it's like, is this part of Fiji's culture at all? Or are we just trying to pretend like we don't have the money to go anywhere else or the tax credits to go anywhere else? But doesn't this feel a little different and South American? And you're like, no, I know you're in Fiji. You're lying to. And everyone goes in and goes, oh, wow. And there's a statue with the whole body with the head fell off. And you know, it's made out of plaster in Paris. This is not a statue they flew in from anywhere. And you're just like, it's something that's actually bothering me watching now, of like, please don't fake Fiji. Like, make normal Fiji good enough. Not like, what if Fiji was Atlantis and like had an ancient god with a head? And I know this is such a BS complaint, but it is taking me out when everybody is looking up and going, wow, look how cool Tribal Council. It's like, it's a movie set. It's not something you would walk into to go talk to a tribal leader of, you guys get to like eat one of our people. Like, I know that's not what Survivor was based on ever before, but like, that's what goes in my head of what, like, this is, we walked in and this has been used for years, not next to this huge headless statue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, most of the time when Tribal Council is going on, I'm like jotting notes and putting out one last.
You're jotting? You're not.
Yeah. You know, I honestly didn't really notice, although they were looking around a lot. Yeah, I didn't really notice, but I'll look next time now. I'm glad it bothered you, because it bothered other people in here too. So
great.
Good. I'll end on a positive here. Michael Wilde says it. These 90 minute episodes feel so amazingly paced, two episodes in, and I feel like we know everyone to at least some degree. That's how I feel. I feel like tonight too, they did a good job. First of all, Survivor messed up in their promo, because they always do, where they had the part of Tiana saying, Tiana said, he just called us all losers. And I was waiting for that. And I was like, oh shit, that's going to be, they haven't said it yet. And there's nothing that would make sense. So this is going to be after they lose. But other than that, the way it was paced, you actually really couldn't tell which tribe was going to lose.
Yes, it did. I was glad that Yellow won first. And because I don't think we had much content from Blue. I'm not going to be calling the tribes by their names. I think this is a problem.
Tuku is now just Uu because they lost TK.
They lost. That's my joke. I wish I texted it to you earlier so I could pretend it actually is my joke. That's really good. I need longer tribe names than four letters. Like, I get that we want to put as little effort into Survivor as possible because people are going to watch anyway. But the fact that every tribal name is four letters long, like, I need a Soliantu. I need a Jacare. Like, give me some freaking syllables to scream at my opponents. Like, Tuku, Tuku. Like, it's so... I can't even scream Tuku because it's all back in the back of my neck, but, like, back of my throat. But I don't know. It is... I don't even know where we got for this, but I need some extra syllables, please, in my tribal things. Oh, I'm going to say red, blue, and yellow for the rest of the time.
That works for me, man. All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to be back Saturday morning, 11 a.m. with the upcoming star of White Lotus Season 3, Carl Boudreaux. So I'm going to have Carl for the first time in a long time. I haven't had Carl on in a while. He was a staple after David versus Goliath. And I think the last season we had him do was season 41. And he was like, I hate this shit. It was just like, all right, Carl, we'll move on. But I think he's back to enjoying it. And he's liking it a lot more. So Saturday morning, 11 a.m., I will be live with him. And Blake and I aren't going to do a digging deeper tomorrow, I don't think. Maybe there's like an off chance that we suddenly come to a conclusion that we should.
Dug deep enough.
Yeah, but I don't think that we're going to because we just did this podcast tonight. So anywhere, it's just the two of us. Why do that tomorrow? So, yeah. So stay tuned, though. Maybe we will follow us on social media just in case we change our minds. Become a patron, patreon.com/the specialist, not the Survivor Specialist. Patreon.com/the specialist. Australian Survivor 2018 is what I'm watching right now. Champions versus Contenders. Part 4 is going to be coming out on Friday. I'll be doing my after show tomorrow. John and McKenna doing Survivor Rewind on Saturdays. We did movie stuff. John and I are doing top 10 lists. We're going to be doing underrated horror movies on the YouTube channel. So then we're talking about some movies on Tuesdays over there. Blake and I put out a casting episode today, which I thought was really fun. Blake did rapid fire of everybody. Go see what he got wrong before watching episode 2. I think that will be a lot of fun.
Big Brother tomorrow.
Don't forget, Blake is doing Big Brother tomorrow. It's almost over. His pain and suffering is almost done. And then
it's a good season, but somebody just blew up the whole goodwill I had. It would be like if Phil and Will made it to the final 7 together, and you just like Phil's my number. You're Phil. You would go, Will's my number one, and then Will the next time was like, we got to get Phil out, and just immediately backstabbed you, and it's like, I've been rooting for both of you the entire season, and now you're screwing me up. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all for Big Brother. Goodbye.
Okay, cool. Big Brother. Blake's doing it. And then, yeah, for our patrons also, you'll be doing Every Season Matters. Blake and I are going to record 2 episodes of Survivor Palau after this. So get on over there. Send your power rankings in. Do all that stuff if you're a patron. Otherwise, thank you all so much for listening. Let us know what you think about the episode so far in the comments. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. And I'll see you Saturday morning at 11 a.m.